back to our study of Mark. We're beginning in chapter 11 this evening. When they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the village ahead of you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If someone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here right away.'" So they went and found a young donkey outside in the street, tied by a door. They untied it, and some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing untying the donkey?" They answered them, "Just as Jesus had said." So they let them go. Then they brought the donkey to Jesus and threw their robes on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their robes on the road, and others spread leafy branches cut from the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed kept shouting, "Hosanna! He who comes in the name of the Lord is the blessed one. The coming kingdom of our father David is blessed. Hosanna in the highest." Stop right there. Got some things we want to talk about.
There's something I'll point out here. I think often we just read the Bible and just assume, they did this, they did that. But if you really look at the request Jesus made, it sounds like he's telling his disciples, "I'm going to steal me a coat." He's telling them to go unloose one, bring it to him. It doesn't belong to him. Or does it? Since he owns everything. You understand? But here's what impresses me, is the simplicity of his disciples. I don't see them arguing with him. "Are you out of your mind? What if we get caught?" No, they just, he says go, and they go. And they do what he says to do. See, this is exactly how God is wanting us to operate today. Today I've gone back and looked at some things in the last year of prophetic words that God had spoken to me. I read all of them. And the first one started April the 5th, 2020. God was telling us then, he was warning us then of things that was coming. He told us then that he was separating. But the last thing he said, which really got my attention, that we absolutely ignored, he said, "Take out the enemy's communications." Now, what would you think the enemy's communications would be? TV? News? Just the talk of the world? The enemy's communication, in other words, take it out, stop listening, don't subject yourself to anything that God's not saying. If God doesn't agree with it, take it out. Get it out of your life. But even to this day, the church, people as a whole, refuse to listen to the Word of God. So there's no way we'd go get a donkey. We talk ourselves out of it, you understand? Because we could give you a million reasons why we shouldn't do it. God was telling us from the beginning of the year, enemy's coming big, he's coming in deception. He said, "But I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken so that the things that cannot be shaken will stand." And he told me the only thing that can stand that won't be shaken is the things of the Spirit. Everything you're building on naturally and natural thinking, it's going to fall. But anything you're built on by the Spirit, it can't fall, because God cannot fail. These guys had just simple revelation. Jesus said it, so it's going to be okay. We're just going to do what Jesus said, and we're covered. We've got to get to the point to where we're convinced when God speaks. I'm not talking about just the written word. Obviously, we should believe that. But the Bible says we're supposed to believe His prophets. I mean, you look at the Jehoshaphat situation. Believe the Lord your God, you'll be established. Believe His prophets, you'll prosper. But yet, I think in the Old Testament, how many times, all the way through, you can look at it, God would send the prophet to the nation, Israel, Judah, whichever the case was. God would send them in, God speaking His word. I'm paying attention. But they'll pay attention to the other gods. They'll pay attention to the other prophets. You look at Ahab. Ahab would not listen to the prophet of God. He chose to listen to the prophets of Baal, who prophesied his death, is what it ended up being. And Micaiah told him that if he went, and I'm paraphrasing, okay, but if you go, you will be killed. He said, put him in jail till I get back. Micaiah said, if he comes back, hear me, everybody. If he comes back, God didn't say anything. You know the story. He didn't come back. I'm going to tell you, God's wanting us to get to the place of where we don't just say it, but we live it, that we're people who are led by the Spirit, and we're people who walk by faith, not by sight. And actually, when you look at this 11th chapter of Mark, it deals a lot right in that vein, but it's interesting how it starts out here with his disciples he's speaking, and they just take him literally at his word, and that would make your mind go tilt. Right? What if I told you, how about going to such and such a street and such a house number, and you'll find a car there with the keys in it? How about bringing it to me? That's the magnitude of what was done here. You with me? So they trusted him more than they trusted the reason. Now, if someone tells you that, you better know they heard from God. Somebody's going to have to go your bail. Okay? All right.
But you think about just this simply following the Lord's instruction. We talked about a lady named Ruth today. Remember Ruth?
Ashley, you can go on YouTube, Ruth Ward Heflin. And actually, Dr. Elizabeth Vaughn is telling about her because she was a very personal friend of hers and traveled with her son. But she actually talked about I think the caption was traveling by the Spirit. And Ruth was, I've heard of Ruth many, many, many years ago. Actually, I think I have a couple of her books on anything she wrote had to do with glory. But God would speak, she would go. And Dr. Vaughn said she was there at her house and had been staying there, and got up the next day and said right out of the blue, she said, the Lord told me to go to the Philippines. Bye. But she said, I didn't know she didn't have enough money. She said, but that was never an issue with her. That she had enough money to get from Texas to California. So she goes to the airport. In the airport, she meets a couple people, and they talk to him, and they start to, you know, they bid their farewell. One of them just took her hand, put something in it, and She looked at it, and it was just enough money to buy the ticket to the Philippines. She gets to the Philippines, and somebody meets her and says, "You're staying in the presidential palace." You understand? That simple. And she gives story after story after story. Like in the middle of the night, the Lord spoke a word, one word, Chad. She said, that's a country somewhere. So she looked, she found out where it was. In Africa. Bought a ticket to Africa. Didn't know anybody, anything. Just knew she was supposed to be there. Gets there, and God has this thing set up. And she starts asking around, and she was put with the right contacts, and gets positive results, and a missionary was healed. Interesting, eh? At a very early age, God started using her. She just had a teenager, an insatiable desire for Chinese people. So she ended up spending a lot of time in China ministering to the Chinese and spoke three of their languages. But she said she could see herself with chopsticks eating out of a bowl and Chinese people around her. And she's 18 years old. Some lady comes through and says, she said she was going to China. And she said, if I come to China, can I stay with you? The lady said, yeah. So she started saving her money to go to China. And then a missionary couple, she found out they were going to China. She said, can I go with you guys? They said, yeah. And she liked, I think it was $500 having the boat fare to go to China. And her brother, who wasn't really serving God all that much, went and borrowed $500 and gave to her so she'd have the boat fare. And then the missionary couple backed out for whatever reason. So here's this 18-year-old girl on a ship going to China. Knows nothing. Trusting God. Just trusting God. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, Dr. Vaughn, when she was telling these various things, she also said a couple things about herself that talking about Ruth being such a lady of faith. And she said Dr. Vaughn was going through some things. She was trying to build a TV station, tons of money, this type thing. She was, I think there's a lot of stress with it and all that. And she called walking by faith, walking on water. And Dr. Vaughn said she was tired. She was wearing on her. Said she was praying. She said, Lord, she said, I'm so tired of walking on water. Can I just go to the shore and rest a little while? She said, the Lord said, I'm on the water. He said, yeah, I'll stay on the water. Stay where the Lord is. Stay where the Lord is. This is the message that's going through here. You have to obey God, you have to hear God. But once you hear God, you're under obligation to obey Him. Now you have to act on what you hear. A lot of people hear, but they won't act. They'll talk the talk. They'll preach the message. They'll tell you about it. But they don't do it. God's looking for doers of the word. Not hearers only, but doers of the word. Now, there's people of faith all around us. All around us. I want to be one of these. Not just talking about other people, but one who hears God and one who has enough confidence in God to step out with Him. Get over the fear factor of the what ifs. You follow me? And just be obedient to the Lord.
Yeah. So let's talk about these people spreading their robes on the road in the leaves. Hosanna.
Actually, this is what we commonly call the triumphal entry of Jesus in Jerusalem. This is before Passover, right before his crucifixion, the 4 days that they're going to inspect the lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he's using this colt, not a donkey that's been rode on, not something seasoned, but something virgin, if you will. And as he starts in, the people are captivated. They know who he is. So they start throwing their garments down. Palm branches and all this in honor. You know, Hosanna to God in the highest, you know. They're really giving praise and accolade to the Son of David, the Son of God, you know. But you know what happens? The religion people got upset because of what they're doing. Don't you hear what they're doing? Tell them to shut up. He said, if they don't cry out, the rocks will. Because creation is going to praise me. Well, I don't want no rock taking my place. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it interesting how the people that are supposed to be leading you to the Lord are interfering with your relationship with the Lord? No, we want you to do it our way. We don't want you to just go head over heels in love with the Lord. And you understand that's what these that's what these people were doing. They were just throwing caution to the wind in front of everybody, praising the Lord. We have a hard time praising the Lord in front of anybody. We don't. I've had many people to tell me, well, you know, you worship private. Well, I'm a private person. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus. You understand? Can't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of people hearing you praising the Lord. You know, I've been here during the day just singing, praying in the Spirit. Somebody walk, yeah, I don't know, they're here. Big deal. Well, might have heard something you never heard before. I hope it's contagious. It's on you. They'll know the real deal. I'm not talking about show. You don't even know what's going on. You love the Lord, you're going to praise the Lord. You understand? Cling to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that Dr. Vaughn's talking about Ruth Heflin. Said she would have everybody to come up and say, let's just sing a new song. Let's sing a new song. And just spontaneously just start singing out of your spirit. Not lyrics that have been written down, but the Holy Spirit just singing through you. You ever done that? Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a great thing to do. You just, I walk around, just start singing in the Spirit. And sometimes singing in English. You build yourself up. It's not increasing your faith, you're building yourself on your faith. Your faith's there. You're building yourself up on it. And so praise and adoration is appropriate for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at any time and at all times. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But I'm going to take this one step further here. We should be saying that about the people who God sends as messengers to us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I'm not talking about worshiping people. I'm talking about giving honor where honor's due and just say, thank you, Lord, that you love us enough that you'll send somebody to us to speak to us, give us the direction.
Verse 11. He went into Jerusalem and into the temple complex. After looking around at everything, since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, when they came out from Bethany, he was hungry. After seeing in the distance a fig tree with leaves, he went to find out if there was anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it.
You have to get the whole picture of what's occurred and take all the Gospels and put them together to get an accurate message out of this. Actually, Jesus did not go into the temple and just clean house. Jesus went into the temple, and because it was late in the evening, he observed the activity that was going on in the temple when it disturbed him. Mm. So he goes back. The next day, he starts back to the temple, and there's a fig tree with leaves. And he says, well, maybe there'll be some fruit on it since there's leaves on it. But he couldn't find any fruit. And so he said, from this day forward, you will not bear any fruit. And it says the tree dried up from the roots. Well, he goes on to the temple and starts cleaning house, turning over to money changers, tables, all the ungodly activity that's going on in the church. And I'm going to tell you right now, God would turn over some tables today in many churches. The seeker-friendly churches, God would clean them out. Fundraising, all this garbage that takes place in the house of God, God would clean it out. Jesus says about God's house, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. Mm-hmm. In here, you're just merchandising. All you're doing is trying to make money in the house of God. And that's what the modern-day church has reduced itself to, is some business machine to get money. And you can't get enough. You get this amount of money and you build this building. Well, you're not satisfied with that building because somebody else has a bigger one. Or they have a facility you don't have, so you want to add another facility and another facility. And you just build you an empire, but God's not in it. God's not interested in the building aspect. What he's interested in is the spiritual building. Remember the disciples when Jesus, they're at the temple and he walks out and they're trying to put their attention or get Jesus' attention on the Herod's temple, how beautiful it is. And he says, there's not going to be a stone left on another. Guys are caught up in the wrong thing. This can be destroyed. Better look at the things it's not. Destroy this temple. I'll raise it up in the third day. You understand? And we better go for that indestructible temple. We better go God's way. You follow me? I hope I'm not getting too far off of the subject here. But just understand what the buildings God's blessed us with or should be utilized for. Not self-gratification. Not flesh. You understand? But these are places to meet the Spirit of God. And I don't want us to abuse the time God gives us by doing all this natural activity that's not profiting anything spiritually. I want us to be profitable for God in all that we do, every time we come together, so we're God's pleased. That doesn't mean every service is going to be the same, but every service should be a service to the Lord. That's the bottom line. Let's not make or desecrate the house of God. Now, a lot of people take offense. Well, I'm a house of God. Well, you desecrate your own self too. No, the bottom line is anything that's set apart for God is God's. You set apart a building, you say that this is the sanctuary, then that's God's. I understand the body of Christ is the church. I understand that. But I also understand that the body of Christ assembles itself together at various places. In the book of Acts, they were in houses. It says the church in the house of such and such. Okay? And what we have to understand is we don't want to desecrate the place that's set apart, and we don't want to desecrate the temple of God, which is our bodies. But these bodies are to be used for the glory of God as well. Amen? And don't make merchandise of them.
So let's pick up in verse 18. Then the chief priests and the scribes heard it and started looking for a way to destroy him. For they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was astonished by his teaching. And whenever evening came, they would go out to the city. But
go ahead and read it. I jumped ahead.
No, that's okay. I want to talk about, though, about the chief priests and the scribes hearing, being afraid of Jesus. But they were really afraid of the crowds, weren't they? You know, every time I read the scripture of Jesus going in and overturning tables, I think back to, I actually saw the Lord do that one time in a church. I was standing and I had been given a volunteer duty, and I was gearing myself up for it. And we had these tables in this big foyer set up, and they were getting ready to sell. They had t-shirts and hats and books. And I turned to the side, and I saw Jesus walking in the church. And he walked straight to those tables and didn't say anything, and took his hands and just flipped them. One table, next, flipped it. There were three. And then flipped it. And then he turned and walked right back out.
Come on. Step out here and hope you got your rocks in your pocket locked up, okay? But the way things are going today in the average church, they call them seeker-friendly churches, trying to get people to come to church and making whatever type solicitation by offering various things, whether it's refreshments or whether it's professional music or light shows or dance, whatever the case may be. And these things are displeasing to the Lord. The Lord dealt with me about this 30 years ago. This is not a new thing. And then I came against it, and they would have actually hung me high on the gallows if it hadn't been against the law. But the Lord spoke to me to deal with it. And so we stopped the fundraising. And they tried to go behind my back and do it, and I called a meeting. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, as long as I'm here, you're not going to have fundraising because God said not to. So they decided the best thing to do, get rid of me. You know, it took a while. But here's the thing. I learned early on, God hates that. God hates that. If you're fundraising, you're not believing God. You're not trusting God. You're trusting in your own ability. And you'll call it raising money for God. But all you're doing is you're raising money to do it this, and then you get this little award, you get that, you get the recognition, and then you get the bragging rights. That's all flesh. That's all flesh. And God does not want us operating in that. And it's like Heather was talking about the turning over the tables. I am convinced that Jesus would do the same thing today. And I tell you this, one of the other things that he told me this in 2020. He said, the status quo church is disintegrating, and I call for the disintegration, and it's going to lose its influence. What's going to attract people is the power of God, the presence of God. And you watch. You're going to see churches belly up. Won't be able to pay the bills. They won't be able to keep the facility going. And some of them already in major financial trouble. You understand? Because they won't listen to God and do it God's way. Man thinks he has a better idea. I'll get the presence of God on a cart like the Philistines had. God says, no, if you get my presence in, it'll be borne on the shoulders of men, not with some program. Men will carry it. Men will carry my presence. They will hear me and say what I say. That's how the presence of God comes into the place. And that takes trust. Because flesh says, well, I think we should do it this way. I've been thinking about this, and I've been thinking about that. Well, what do you think about God? Instead of following reason, good direction. And God's not going to direct you through reason. God will direct you by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm very adamant on this. That's why I'm not real popular with a lot of people, and it doesn't matter to me. Because the judge of the earth is Jesus. That's who I'll stand for before. So I want to do it his way. Okay? And I would highly recommend it. You do it his way. Don't devise your own plan and scheme. It may look good, and you may get applauded. Many people are being applauded. They're writing books about it. Not understanding they're sealing their own destiny. Driving the nail in their own coffin, so to speak, because they're not doing it God's way. So we've got to learn to do it God's way. Now, God's way is faith.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that this is leading right into Mark 11:22. All these things that's being spoken here in the first part of this chapter, you just keep the context of it, and it's leading right in to 22. It says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. People have faith in this person, that organization. But don't have faith in God. And one of the basic fundamentals is called milk of the word in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, is faith toward God. Not faith toward things. Not faith toward people. Faith toward God. Faith directed toward God. That's where he's wanting us to go. Okay? All this other is just leading you into that place. I can tell you, you're not going to be walking into faith till you learn to praise God. When you learn to give him the glory and the adoration that he's worthy of, and you just lay everything out on the line, and you don't care what religious organization and all these people see you, I'm just going to praise God. Glory to God in the highest. Then that's step one to get you to trusting in God. Get your praise right. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Into his courts with praise. Get yourself in the right attitude. Get your mind on the Lord. Amen. If I get him magnified in my eyes, I can believe him. But if I think the devil's up here, and, or the problem's this big and the Lord's down here, then I'll never operate in faith. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come, let us exalt his name together with the psalmist. Amen.
Amen. But so much of that faith centers around trust, because we have to know who it is that we're worshiping, who it is that we're trusting. And so do we trust do we trust that the Lord is going to provide? Thank you. Do we really trust that? Because this is the same God that says, that said, go fishing, and you're going to get the tax money out of the fish. I mean, do we trust the Lord that much? Or do we feel like we have to take matters into our own hands? And that's a difficult place to be, but if we really asked ourselves that question, I think for some of us it would be a sobering answer. So I'll go back to these tables being overturned. And yes, I know that God would do that today, because it wasn't that long ago. But that goes right back to the, well, we are morally upstanding because this is what we're going to do. We're going to take matters in our hands to take care of this problem that we see, this need that we see, instead of letting the Lord direct their steps. You know, we can't be too hard on, because we do the same in our own lives.
Have you ever noticed that the people that use that method, it becomes a way of life, and they're always raising money. Always raising money.
Mm-hmm.
Always in lack. Our God's a more than enough God, but we don't want to draw off of His resources. We want to use natural resources to do it. Mm-hmm. I guess we better stop here. Time's up. We'll come back to this, Mark 11:22, okay?
Yeah, we're not even there yet.